We're back. It's the Weird Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean, and across the way is Danny Shark, da-da-da-da, Danny Shark, da-da-da.
Shawnee Shark.
Dude, I've been poisoned, Danny. That fucking song. I cannot tell you, as much beer as I drank this weekend, I cannot get rid of that stupid shark song.
It's like the zombie invasion of music.
Like, it's so stupid, but it's so easily catchy. Like, it's just like, it's rotted my brain. If you don't know what I'm looking for, just look up Baby Shark, and if you have any sense, you'll not do it.
No, see, why are you lying to the people, dude? It's a fun time that they'll enjoy.
You'll have a good time, and it's not April Fool's Day.
I know.
So we can't play a joke on you.
No, by law you can't. There's only one day of the year where you can prank legally.
Dude, I would just be like sitting there and I'll just hear like, and I'll just like look over and be like, this is your fault. You brought this into this house.
Exactly. It's like a zombie invasion or herpes. It just doesn't go away.
I grab my dog. I was all Mabel Shark as I'm like moving her in the air. Miko Shark doing fucking throwing the cat through the air. Like it's gone too far in this house. Like somebody needs to end it.
I mean, that's what guns are for, dude. Just put it to your head or even in your mouth and you just taste the sweet, sweet silence of never hearing that song again.
The sound of silence.
So
it's going to be a musical show today.
It is. I am speaking of, you know, where I work, the maintenance people would drive around and they'd have their mechanic type radios on, you know, the ones that people take to construction sites.
Mm-hmm.
So they could listen to music while they're working on things. And apparently the workers thought that it wasn't fair that we only could listen to headphones and not speakers where the mechanics got to.
Yeah.
And so people would bring in like little like personal, you know, Bluetooth speakers that they could just kind of set up at their workstation and mostly only hear at their workstation. And some of them started bringing in the same ones that the mechanics had. Today, Sean, I saw the ultimate just jackass carrying speaker today.
Oh, what was it? Please enlighten me.
I mean, now I have a plan, dude. I think I want to go buy one and just blast Baby Shark walking around my job all day.
Remember, kids, if you're going to go all in, you fucking go all in. Don't let anything stop you.
Yes, nothing at all. Because one of my coworkers recommended maybe a Tom Jones song, like It's Not Unusual or something like that. But no, I think Baby Shark is the way to go.
I'm glad that I gave you something. Did you ever hear the song before I sent it to you?
Yes, I had. I have a couple friends that have like toddler-aged kids.
Good.
And so they wanted to be not suffer alone, so they forced it upon me too. And then I forced it upon my wife.
Oh, she seems like she'd be a sucker for that song. I bet she like listens to it at work.
Because I was talking to her about it. No. Actually, I was talking to her about it, and she was like, "What is that song?" And then I played it for her, and she's like, "You could have just fucking, you could have just told me. You didn't have to play it for me."
Yeah,
now the song is never going to leave my head.
It takes so long for it to leave.
But this guy, he was walking through, leaving, and his speaker was one of those that you would take to a karaoke night. Like, and that would be the sole speaker you would have for the karaoke. Like, it was big enough that it had wheels and a handle to roll it behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was, like, getting on an airplane to go somewhere.
Oh, jeez.
it was so big that they wouldn't let him carry. It doesn't qualify as carry on. It would have to be checked baggage.
That's what she said.
Exactly. You have to check that package before you can load it in my cargo bay. Is that enough airplane sex jokes?
I mean, let's just keep this going. Why not?
But yeah, so I think I need to find that and just see how much that costs and if it's worth just finding that guy and standing next to him and playing my speaker.
Yep, until like he goes, please let them have their headphones back.
Right. Or he decides that I'm the asshole because he was there first, even though, like, nobody around him probably wants to listen to the shit he was listening to.
Fair enough.
So, Sean.
Yes, Daniel.
I made a trip to pick up a couple things at our local Trader Joe's.
Nice.
And the lines were kind of long, so I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go swing by and see if they have any interesting beers. Because sometimes they do, right?
No, that makes sense. There's we have a little farm store, organic store, what you not.
Yes.
And it's got some actually decent beer selection. I was like, wow, like, you know, like, it wasn't like it was, like, super rare stuff. It was just a really good selection, though. Like, you wouldn't be like, if you had to do an emergency beer run and you ran in there, you wouldn't be disappointed.
Right, because you can't, you know, it's not necessarily rare stuff, but there are some harder to find beers or just less known beers. But the one thing they did have was they had bottles and cans that you, as you said last week's episode, that you could either buy singles or make your own six-pack.
Yep.
And so for 75 cents, Sean, I got a can of a beer that I wanted to try but didn't want to pay for the whole six-pack.
Nice. What is that beer?
It is a Firestone Walker IPA. It's their number 12 in the series of their Lupinic Distortions.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually kind of a cool thing. So basically it's just a basic West Coast IPA with fruit flavor. So they have, this one has hints of tangerine, strawberry gummy, and honeydew.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't add any fruit.
Interesting.
It's the amount of hops and the hops that they add. Basically, they use the flavor profiles of those to get the fruit hops.
That's the fruit flavors. That's a pretty big challenge.
And it's not like, like I said, it's not like they added the fruit, so it's not like, wow, I super taste tangerine.
Yeah.
But the hints are there, and it's actually pretty good. It's not Christmas tree bitter like normal, like West Coast IPAs can be.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at you, Stone and Green Flash.
I think that was a huge fade that's passed, and really, like, citrusy IPAs is, I mean, not even looking at New England IPAs, I mean, citrus has just dominated all different IPAs. Unless you're trying to go for that really, what is it called, the Brill IPA, the really dry one?
The Brut, or the Brut,
depending on what part of the country you're in.
Yes, or how pompous you want to sound. I bought my Brut IPA at Target.
But no, it's definitely been a super shift into the citrus game. I think New England IPAs and this juicy phrase has really kind of pushed over the pine needles.
Right, and it's, I mean, a lot of it too is they just aren't trying to basically dick swing to see how they can make a beer the most bitter of them all. they've already reached the limits of the international bitterness rating.
Yes.
They can't go any higher than 100.
No, they can't.
So they're trying to challenge each other in different ways.
Exactly. Speaking of IPAs, Danielson, I also have an IPA today from Six Point Brewery. It is called the Bengali. It is a IPA with a orange taste to it that, you know, was kind of named after a tiger. So I was opening it and drinking it during our fun little stint about Baby Shark. But it's a little bit more on the bitter side, like a West Coast, but it definitely has those orange notes and flavors that you'd be expecting. Not to try to sound like a pirate right there.
No, you need to be drinking like a... Well, I guess Indian Pale Ale would be appropriate as a pirate, because if it was being shipped from England to India, pirates might catch it on the way and steal your booty.
Exactly.
And then they might take your beer, too.
And they might ask you what their favorite letter is.
It's the C.
You think it'd be the R, but it's really the C.
Yes.
This show's got some range, Danny, I will say. From puns to mom to that's what she said jokes.
I think we've jumped the proverbial baby shark.
pirate shark da 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 da, pirate shark da 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 da. Bringing it back.
All right, racist. Bringing it back. Clerks 2 reference.
If you didn't know.
What's that?
I said, in case you didn't know.
In case you didn't know, yes.
Oh, man.
So, Sean, there's a brewery in Scotland called Brew Dogs.
Okay.
They had a shitty TV show on, like, Spike TV for a while. That, like, it was, like, one network, then it became another network, then it became Spike, and now it's Paramount Network.
Okay.
Where basically, like, if you flip it on, you're probably going to catch, like, a marathon of Bar Rescue now. But...
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to watch.
Yes, they tried to make it, like, basically the men's... Oh, and for a while it was Esquire magazine, that's what it was. Yes. In between. But at one point, they had this show on where these guys would go through and would brew, like, weird beers in weird places.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took that challenge of weird beers in weird places to new heights by opening a beer-based hotel in Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And so to celebrate the opening of their beer-based hotel in Cleveland, Ohio, they booked a flight from their home country to Cleveland with like 200 of investors and 50 people from the staff.
Gotcha.
And they, according to like journalists on board, they're about 2 hours outside of Cleveland, and the toilets had to be closed because they could hold no more.
Oh, wow. That's
which it's like, ridiculous. I don't know why they just didn't open them up over Ohio. I don't think anyone would notice the difference.
It would have helped the farmers, you know, get some nutrition in that soil. I don't know if that's how it works.
Yes. Oh, that reminds me. I meant to ask you, because I couldn't figure out the other two things that you buy, that you use your laptop for. Is one of them farmersonly.com?
No, it's not for farmersonly.com. I thought that was no. A joke at first. The first time I saw that, I thought it was a joke. I did too.
And like then I realized video. I was watching. Yeah. I saw the first commercial and I'm like, is this part of the show? And then I realized I was watching a hockey game and there's not much comedy skits during a hockey game.
No, there isn't.
So
there really isn't.
Yeah, but it was funny because the journalist was like, yeah, they ran out. The bathrooms had to be closed 2 hours before, but then the official press release from the brewery was like, oh no, everything was fine. Like we were like 20 minutes away from running out of beer, but the bathrooms, they just had to be closed slightly outside of Cleveland. And I was like, well, I guess when you compare it to the rest of the flight, like a 16-hour flight, and only the last 2 hours of the bathrooms were closed.
That's not too bad.
Maybe it's a small percentage of the flight. But yeah, man, if you're like, because they wanted to break a record of the biggest beer taste in the air, and they even brewed a special IPA that was supposed to accommodate for the way the altitude affects your taste buds.
I did not.
So they made it like
that was a thing.
Yeah, that's why airplane food. The jokes about airplane food tasting so bad is the altitude actually like affects your taste buds, so everything tastes bland.
Hmm. Interesting. The more you know.
Exactly. So they made it more hoppy, but not necessarily more alcoholic. It was only 4.5%.
Can't get everybody drunk on the plane, huh?
No, but they probably tried to, and that's why they had to use the bathroom a lot.
Yeah, they did. See, they could have avoided this problem if they just brewed a 7%.
Or an 11%. Everyone would have just been asleep for the last half of the flight.
Yeah,
or fighting, one of the two. they wouldn't even have to worry about the bathrooms being full, because they would have just pissed in the seats. Well, they were asleep.
They were asleep, passed out, and they peed themselves. What more can we do?
Exactly. So, Sean, the food blogger, the food babe, who basically is like the PETA of food bloggers, mm-hmm. reported that there is weed killer in your beer and wine.
Danny, I just want everybody to know when I do homebrew, I don't spray weed killer in there.
But you use hops, and the hops were grown in a field, and that field most likely used weed killer, which might have seeped into the hops, and then now your beer has weed killer in it.
I don't believe that. I'm going to choose not to believe you.
This is the same lady that, like, through her crazy fear-mongering got Subway to be gross because they changed the recipe of their bread. Because, like, her favorite thing is to say, well, this thing is bad for you because it's one molecule away from being something that you can't eat. Oh, like, margarine is one molecule away from being rubber. Or water is one molecule away from being poisonous.
Oh, so we should stop drinking water?
That's what I say. If we're going to not drink margarine, then you shouldn't drink butter either. I mean, water either. Yeah, drink butter. I almost said butter the first time, but I didn't make it past the second one.
You done fucked
up. It's like when you watch one of those like joke, the bloopers of a track and field competition, and they make it over the first hurdle, but then they just stumble and fall right to the second one.
Nice.
But
it's speaking of water and how dangerous it could be. Have you heard of Alexa before?
No.
From Amazon, Alexa.
Oh, yes. I didn't hear the A. I heard Alexa with an L. I didn't hear no A.
Got you. So you could ask Alexa fun questions like, can you give your dog tomatoes or a carrot? And it'll come up with a response where it's like, it's not listed as a harmful item, but you should, you know, and then the fine line print, like you should check with the veterinarian first, though, before you give it to him. Like,
yes,
you're not going to sue us. So we asked Alexa, can we give our dog water? And it was like, water is not on the a list of poisonous things for dogs, but you should check the veterinarian if they're going to have it.
Well, maybe it knows it. They don't know. I was going to say it doesn't know where the person who's asking you is, but they have location and they know exactly where you are. Because if you lived in Flint, you probably shouldn't give your dog water.
That's fair.
But according to the group that actually did the study, mm-hmm. you would have to drink about 100, even in the one that had the highest amount of parts per billion of the weed killer, you would have to drink about 140 glasses of wine, of that wine or that beer a day.
Gotcha.
Before it caused a problem. Which, to some people, are like, wow, I don't think that'll ever be a problem. To others, that sounds like an acceptable challenge.
hold my beer.
Hold my beer while I get another beer.
We're going to pound this fucker down. Time to get poisoned.
Hold my beer while I grab
I feel
exactly.
Like,
hold my beer while I grab 139 more.
I feel like your liver would die from alcohol poisoning before the weed killer got to you.
Yes, and that's kind of that's usually the point of these bullshit like food scares where it's like, this thing is bad, don't ever eat it. And then it's like, if you ate enough for it to be bad for you, you would die from many, many other things before that thing.
Yeah, right? Oh, jeez.
So our friends from Broken Lizard, Sean, at least two of them, are starring on a new TV show that is on True TV.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, True TV has decided that they can't run 24-hour-a-day marathons of Impractical Jokers every day. They have to have 30 minutes, or at least 30 minutes to an hour of other shows.
That's not even surprising.
I know, because when I found the show and I went to like find it to DVR it, I literally had to go through like a whole day of Impractical Jokers. And I was listening to them do an interview for the show, and they even said that. They're like, yeah, if you can't find it, just look for Impractical Jokers. It's that channel.
Dude, that channel is always on at work. It's ridiculous. Like, I feel like I've been forced to watch like every episode of it.
So, I mean, those people have to be at least well off, right? If not, like, independently wealthy at this point from all the reruns.
Mm-hmm. Probably. They should
be. But on the plus side, no, they're not selling any DVDs because you just have to wait a while and it'll, that show that you're looking for will come on again.
Pretty much. Just find out which episode it is and then just go through until you find it.
Exactly. But the two that are there is Kevin Heffernan, mm-hmm. Heffernan and Steve Lemmy.
Gotcha.
So it's Farva and the dude, and I can't remember what his name was in Super Troopers, but he was the other dude with the mustache that wasn't the Indian guy. Gotcha. That wasn't Jay.
Yeah. Okay. How was the show?
It's pretty funny. So, like, basically the premise of the show is that Kevin Heffernan is the new chief of the fire station, and he was like one of the guys, and they did a lot of like stupid stunts and kind of played pranks on each other, a la every other movie they've done. Mm-hmm. But instead of being kind of inept like they were in Super Troopers, it's more a thing of they're just bored. Like, they're like a really top-notch fire station.
Yeah.
But because it's always raining in Tacoma, Washington, they have no fires to put out.
That's fair enough.
So, like, the first episode, they ended up going and having to rescue a llama.
Gotcha.
Like, and so, like, the llama was, like, spitting on them, and they tried to figure out a way to get the llama to, like, rescue the llama without getting spit on. And so, as a thank you, the lady offered a $500 gift certificate of llama clothing that she sells on her website. And so, but one of the guys is like, well, do they have to kill the llamas to make the clothes? And they're like, look, man, we're not going to lie to you. Yes, they do. And so he, like, made his whole, like, pilgrimage to, like, save the llamas. But then the rest of the guys were trying to do a contest to see who could win it. Like, whoever won the contest would win it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, one of them was who could hold their arm in a bucket of ice water the longest. And then they had another one. It was, like, the most piss challenge. So they were, like, chugging water, and then they all started pissing in a sparkless bucket to see whichever one filled it the most.
Yeah.
And all that time they were like getting like the city councilwoman was coming in and basically saying that like they didn't have any faith in him because they thought he wasn't being able to be taken seriously and they were worried that he would fail the audit that was upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And so like one of the scenes she walked in the middle while they were doing the pissing contest. Literal pissing contest. So there's like at least one or two characters that haven't been introduced, but it's actually pretty funny. Just a 30-minute show on True TV Thursday nights.
Gotcha. That's fair.
So
it sounds pretty fun. I mean, all their shows have or their movies have been pretty decent.
Yeah, but I was at a barbecue and they were brought up, and this one couple mentioned how they just would rather have Super Troopers 2 not ever been made because it was a huge disappointment and almost ruined the other movies for them. That's how bad they thought it was.
I mean, it was definitely not as good, but I mean, I still think it was pretty solid.
Right. It was funnier than a lot of other things that have come out, but yeah. Not as good as necessarily their bit. It was definitely better than Club Dread.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the problem, though. Like, you can't, like, sequels are never as good, especially in comedies. Like, it's like set up for failure. It went for a comedy to have a sequel. Like, it's just not going to be as good. It doesn't matter if you have the same team, everybody on the team trying to do it. Like, it's too hard. Like, the initial reaction and funniness, like, you can't repeat that originality.
No, and one of the things they brought up was that like the humor felt forced, and it's like, well, yeah, because you knew what you were looking for, you were expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, the first one it was a shock, and you had no idea what was going on, so you didn't know what you were looking for. But now you're just like, oh, well, they did a joke just like this in the first movie. They did a joke like this in the first movie, so yeah, of course it's going to feel forced because you're expecting it.
Yeah.
So, Sean, a bunch of old people got their panties in a bunch. By now, it's been a couple weeks.
Oh, boy.
You know, during the, I guess, peak traffic day hours of Saturday afternoon, ABC aired Overwatch League like playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And people were either tweeting or like basically going to social media, complaining about how, you know, basically like the world's coming to an end. Why is there video games on TV? Meanwhile, over 500,000 people watched it.
Yeah.
And so they're making, like, for the Overwatch League, like, the first couple, this is the second season, they all kind of fly out to L.A. and they play all their games in L.A. because that's where the people that make the game, there's a term, I'm lost, but basically that's where they are located. So it's in Burbank. So the studio's in Burbank, and so basically they all go out there. But starting next season, they're going to have home games. So people are going to have to travel like it's a sports league. So they announced that in Philadelphia, they're building a 3,500-seat arena. And they announced also that the Vancouver team is going to use the same stadium that the Vancouver Canucks play in.
Okay.
Because the owners of the Canucks also own the Overwatch League in that city.
Oh, okay. I can't.
So it'll be interesting though, because there's like teams overseas, like the London Spitfire and stuff, and there's, you know, so it'll be kind of interesting to see how they do it, if they do like you over the week, like they just do the games on the weekends like football. But I know it's not as physical as football, but there's definitely, if you're tired, you're not going to be on your peak for playing, you know, a game where you need reflexes.
True. It's curious. Just funny. Like, are they going to have like expedition games and stuff? Like, how long do you get to? Is it like? I guess I've never even like watched. Like, do they? I mean, I assume they play like is it like a best out of like five games or something?
I think it's, yeah. I don't know exactly how. I don't remember. It's not three, but I know it's best of, and that, you know, they take turns on offense and defense.
Gotcha.
For the carrying the payload.
Okay.
And so they do have an exhibition type thing. It's not at, like, this last one, people were upset because some of the teams didn't take it as seriously because they just basically like did things they would never do in a real competition. And so people were kind of expecting more serious play, but instead it was a team of one character that you necessarily wouldn't even think of playing. Unless you're basically making a joke of the game.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of weird.
Versus, but I think it was more a thing. I think they didn't list it as an expedition. Like when they announced it, I think part of it was the actual Overwatch League itself, because they made it seem more like an expo where it was just here for funsies.
Oh,
and so I think the players just wanted to kind of have some fun with each other and be able to be at a more relaxed environment.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
So it's actually the production value, the shoutcasters as they call them. Overwatch League is actually like head and tails above pretty much everybody else. Like other leagues for esports have to take notice and have to improve.
Gotcha. So
their coverage.
Dota and League of Legends and stuff are falling behind them.
Oh, very much so. Yes.
Wow.
The paydays and just because they even, the teams even have jerseys and stuff that you can buy. So you can buy if you have a favorite team, you can go to their website and buy a jersey with your favorite player's name on the back of it.
Yeah. I'm going to get this cool jersey.
Hey, man, when the players are making millions of dollars for winning the tournament.
Hey, I'm not harping.
When the teams are.
Hey, money's money, right, man. This is the greatest part, man. Nope. Everybody hates that you're into something, and it doesn't matter what it is. So you might as well follow what you like. It's that age, man. Stereotypes,
right. Well,
are
like
out the window.
Two of the biggest lies. Exactly. Two of the biggest lies we were told as kids are, that you can't say anymore. As you know. Is you won't always have a calculator with you, and you'll never make money playing video games.
That is true. I mean, you have to be good, but that's with any profession.
Right. Well, any sport or competition, anything that's competition based, you have to be good. And unless you leave your phone at home, you always have a calculator with you.
Yeah, true.
So every once in a while, people get their hopes and dreams up that a new Half-Life is coming out, Sean.
I don't know why people get their hopes up for Half-Life 3. It's just never going to happen.
Right. Exactly. Because recently somebody posted something online, and basically the question was posed, will I be able to play Half-Life 3 before I die? a reply was supposedly given was, well, just don't die in the next 5 years.
Really?
To which everyone was like, Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Oh, boy.
Except I was reading, and that was fake.
Of course
it was. And it wasn't even put out on April Fool's Day.
Anybody that says Half-Life 3 is coming out is a fool. They are a fool, because it's not happening. We're not going to get a Portal 3. We're not getting all sorts of shit 3. They only make right. 2 games, and that's it.
But you kind of got a little happy when I talked about that. When I said that, don't die in 5 years, you're like, oh, really?
I've never played Half-Life, so I don't understand the love. I was just, like, curious, because it's ever since, like, I've gotten in on the in crowd on Reddit and the internet world, like, Half-Life 3 has always been, like, the joke. So I'm just, like, I'm very skeptical of it ever happening.
Exactly. Here's my theory, Sean. And I just literally made it up as we were having this conversation.
Oh, dude, this so is how full, we're going to get fully... so many listens. We need people to listen to this because they think we're going to talk about Half-Life 3 and when it comes out. We're going to
So here's my theory, Sean.
Tell it.
And I've done all the research I could by just thinking about it while you were talking. So that's a lot more research than most people do nowadays.
That's fair.
We're never going to get a Half-Life 3, Sean. Because it only takes 2 halves to make a whole. If it was like Third Life, then you would get a third one. If it was a Quarter Life, then they might even make 4. But it's only Half-Life, so we're getting 2. That's my well-thought-out, sound business plan of why we're not getting a Half-Life 3.
You know what? I respect that decision. It sounds right.
I don't know enough about video game development, but I can count by halves to confirm my theory.
Pretty much.
So, Sean.
Yes, Dan.
I know everybody, including you, is moving into buying games digitally.
I guess so. Brownie is the huge digital game buyer, and I have purchased a couple games. Because sometimes, like, the game deal on the PS or the Xbox, it's just too good to pass up, you know?
Right. And most of the time, like, why I don't buy it digitally is because I can generally find it a lot cheaper physically than digitally, which makes zero sense to me because I'm not getting a physical anything. Like, you would think I would have to pay more for physical something.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I agree.
But apparently, you were able to buy PlayStation games, actual full games, not, like, add-ons or anything like that, at GameStop digitally. Like, you'd go there, pay full price, and get a code.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know why you would do that. Like, that kind of, to me, that defeats the whole purpose of buying digital, because I thought the whole point of buying digital was so you don't have to leave the house.
Yeah,
it's like
pretty much
ordering a pizza and having it delivered, but then having it delivered to not your house. but then you have to leave your house, go pick it up where you had to deliver to, and then come home.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Sony announced that they're no longer going to be doing that. They're not going to sell whole games digitally through GameStop anymore. Like, they'll still do DLC and, like, game season passes and stuff. And I was reading something, I don't know if this is influenced the decision at all, but they were talking about how they would sell the codes and the person would come back and be like, oh, well, the code didn't work.
Gotcha.
And I don't know if that's a thing of, like, they're just idiots and mistyped the codes and they're just being assholes to the GameStop employees, or they went home, used the code, and then trying to get their money back because they're assholes and being dicks to the GameStop employees.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Danny, so when I pre-order Destiny and the new expansion that comes out in September, which they will probably announce during E3, right? So in June?
In theory. Maybe before, but
this is all theory. So basically, yes. Instead...
It's as sound as my Half-Life theory.
So basically, I can no longer go to GameStop and tell them I want to pre-order this, and then they print me off a stupid-ass receipt with a code on it that's going away, and I'll only be able to buy that expansion on the digital PlayStation store now.
From what I read, you'll be able to do that, but you won't be able to buy Destiny 3 that way.
I won't be able to buy the full game.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We're back on the same page.
Yes, you'll be able to still do like season passes and expansions and whatnot, but not full games.
All I learned, though, from Destiny 2 is that when they announce the next PlayStation, or when they announce when it's coming, I'm going to have to literally like drop what I'm doing and run to GameStop during the middle of this and go pre-order it, because like I couldn't even pre-order the fancy-ass bag for Destiny 2, because by the time I got there an hour after the announcement, they were all sold out.
Or you know what you could do?
Cry.
Is as you're watching the presentation,
start getting
go
ready.
To your laptop or your phone and go to GameStop's website and order it that way.
Don't tell me what to do. Don't give me logistical options that I could do. I don't want to hear your shit, you and your damn ass logic.
Unless you love the chance of maybe running into somebody getting misgendered and destroying the GameStop while you're there for shits and giggles.
maybe I just want to tell that fucking nerd with a ponytail to pre-order me this cool game, and then he'll like look at me like, ah, it's not even a cool game.
Right. Well, I don't know out there, because I haven't been to very many, and by very many I mean zero GameStops in Ohio. But out here, at least, it seems like there's always, like, a couple of nerdy dudes and, like, one kind of hot chick. And they even did it in the GameStop commercials, like, where it was, like, all nerdy dudes and, like, cute girl.
That's true.
Just, like, there's a GameStop phenomenon?
No, some of the GameStops do have pretty decent-looking girls in the work in it, so I don't think it's, like, a huge thing. They're probably like, I've worked retail before, and I'm a girl. Can I have a job at GameStop? And they're like, hired.
Right. But that's, no, but that's my point. Is like, anytime you walk in, it's like one or two nerdy dudes and like a cute girl. The point where like they even put it in the commercials.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And thinking about it, there's that one of the tax companies talking about how you can do your taxes online but get help by a real person. I think the girl in that was the girl from the GameStop commercials. But I'm gonna do as much research into that theory as I did into my Half-Life one. So it's still a solid theory.
Oh, man.
So, Sean, a new debate about video games has arisen from the depths of the internet.
Danny...
All because of one game.
No. False. This debate has came every so years whenever this publisher makes a new game, because we got a bunch of pansy-ass bitches out there crying because they can't handle it.
But what about people with physical abilities that won't let them play the game when it's that hard, Sean? Have you ever thought about them?
I've thought about it. You know, Mount Everest... It doesn't have an easy mode either, so I guess they're just gonna be SOL.
Right, and so basically we're talking about Sekiro Shadows Dies Twice, a new game from the same publishers that brought you the games that hate you, of what do they call now? See, I'm not a gamer, Sean. I don't play games.
You play reindeer games. Dark Souls.
I play reindeer games. Dark Souls, that's it. I keep wanting to say Death.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not Death Souls. No. Dark Souls.
No. So if you haven't played, Dark Souls is a very hard game, which is very... your character could only do so little damage, so what you have to do is you have to figure out how these giant bosses fight, and you have to, like, in Dark Souls, you have to properly dodge and flank and do counterattacks and stuff to kill them. And it's a very hard game because basically, for the most part, a lot of bosses kill you in one fail swoop. Now, in this game, talking with my buddy Adrian, it's same but very different. So in Dark Souls, I guess it's like defensive based, where this game is offensive based. So what you want to do is you have to attack and you have to counterattack, and what you're trying to do is get your enemy off balance, so that way you could do a critical strike. Because basically, it's not like you dodge, hit. It's like, you know, you got to attack, and then as they come at you, counterattack to, I guess there's like a balance scale, and then, you know, you counter it, and you hit them, and it puts them off balance, and then you attack. So you have to be a little bit more aggressive than in Dark Souls, so the gaming type has changed a bit, but it's that same concept, though. Like, you have to work to get that kill.
Right, and there's, like, it was funny because I read an article in Forbes talking about how basically this game is enforcing elitism amongst gamers because it's not for people who can't, you know, it's not, there's no easy mode. And then a couple days later, there was an article written in the same publication in Forbes where the guy called the other guy out and was like, "What are you talking about, dude? This game starts off in easy mode, and then as you play, it basically reads how you play. So if you're kind of walking through the game a little bit too much, it actually steps up the difficulty on its own."
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely like, yeah. You could argue all you want, but I mean, I think there needs to be different levels of gaming. Like, look, I played, not Dark Souls. I played Bloodborne. It's like basically the same shit. It's very frustrating, and it's not a game style that I enjoy. Do I hate the game? I kind of probably hate the game. But I don't hate the game in the sense of, like, I think it's a terrible game. It's just not a game I enjoy playing. I don't like playing that style. Like, I play Destiny for a reason. Even though I get my ass kicked in PvP sometimes and other matches, and there's better players than me, it has a tempo and a pace that I enjoy, and that it just, those games don't deliver on that, and to me, it's not that it's a bad game, it's just different, and I don't like it. I don't like that style. So I definitely don't believe that we need to make, like, an easy mode for these games.
Right, and you know, because it also brought back the whole argument that, you know, you shouldn't be allowed to be a game journalist if you can't beat every game on insane difficulty either, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think that's necessarily fair either. Like, I get the point where you can't have somebody that can't, you know, that can't get through most content.
Tutorial in Cuphead?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's definitely,
but to, like, be fair, like, the guy that did that was, like, not necessarily a games journalist, but they had nobody else to be able to go cover, so they sent him, and then realized that they're sending him to basically, you know, the indie game version of Dark Souls.
I thought this was the same company that made Dark Souls.
The for the Sekiro?
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking about Cuphead.
Oh, got you.
Cuphead is the indie game version of Dark Souls. Oh, and I think they also made Bloodborne too.
Got you.
But yeah, I mean, I have, you know, I know people that have played the games and they've gone through, and, you know, they tell me if you're gonna play those games, just know you're gonna die and you're going to die a lot. And, you know, when the most recent Dark Souls came out, people posted the memes of, this is the only game that actively hates the people that plays it.
I mean, it's definitely frustrating, and it definitely, like, comes at you. It's definitely tough.
Speaking of tough, Sean, are you going to be able to resist playing a new version of Persona 5 when it comes out? Or are you going to jump in and embrace it?
Honestly, I think it's a... it'll be interesting. I don't know. There's a lot of speculation on what the new Royal, Persona 5 Royal, is going to be. So if you don't
And there's
know,
also a Persona 5S.
Yes. So if you don't know, I reviewed a game called Persona 5 in one of the episodes that, you know, if I was smart and I did a lot of homework, I would look up that episode and already know it, but I'm terrible at plugging myself. So basically...
That's not what I heard, Sean.
I thought that too. I won't lie. I ain't even gonna lie. So we got there. A trailer came out, and basically, it's a girl that dresses in the school outfit. So we could assume she goes to school with the characters from Persona 5, and she says that, you know, they are. She doesn't agree with how they do things, and that the world could still be better. And basically, it ends. It's like, you know, 30 seconds long. So we don't really know exactly what's going on. A couple things that we do know, Danny, is that the main character is going to be in Super Smash Brothers at some point. Nintendo talked about that. And there's also been conversations that Persona 5 is going to come to PlayStation 3. I don't really understand why they would dumb it down for PlayStation 3, but they are. But somebody did post that maybe they, since they're dumbing it down for PS3, they can make it available for the Switch, which would make sense in that perspective.
Right, which would explain the Persona 5S. Maybe that S in Persona 5S stands for Switch.
Yep, and honestly, we're just going to have to wait. So on the Persona website, it sounds like there's going to be a big announcement on 4/25. So I think we're just going to have to really wait and see what's going on. I know that there's already, a Persona 5 like music game. I haven't played it because it's only on PlayStation 4 right now. But other than that, I mean, it's really kind of everything speculation on what this Royal is going to be, if it's going to be like an expansion pack or, you know, Game of the Year edition or what it is.
Well, I know, like, for Persona 3 and Persona 4, like, well, especially 4, they came out with the Golden Edition, which kind of was a little bit different than the original version. So maybe it might be just something as simple as that, where they've added characters. Like in Persona 3, they added a female character, and then in Persona 4, they did the Golden Edition, which, you know, had different cutscenes and whatnot. So it could either just be something as simple as adding a new character. It could be adding new cutscenes or changing that, or it could be, you know, as advanced as a whole new game, but told from somebody who's maybe not necessarily fighting the Joker's Guild, but the Thieves Guild, I mean, but doing what they're doing, but trying to race against them so that they could save things the way they want to.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it'll be interesting. Like you said, credit where credit's due, Sean. The announcement, big announcement coming April 25th. So they went full Square Enix, where they had an announcement. For the announcement.
Bastards.
If they want to go full Square Enix, they'll have the trailer that shows a date, and then that date will have be an announcement that they're going to have a big press conference to have an announcement. That's going full Square Enix. So you mentioned E3 earlier, Sean. Sony has already announced that they've pulled out of E3, and they even canceled their PlayStation Experience that they had scheduled for the end of the year last year. And it looks like they're kind of moving to do what Nintendo does, where they do a more frequent but short presentations.
I think,
and so they've decided to call it the State of Play.
Yeah, I think it.
Right.
I think it's good because like it gives updates on things, and you're not just waiting for. It seems like everybody used to wait for E3, and then like there'd be nothing. Like, and so I think Nintendo has really found like a lot of people like are excited when they see these quarterly announcements on games and it and. And it's even for games that, you know, might not even get a lot of hype that they're probably noticing that, you know, they only have so much time and money to put into E3, but there's other games that they want to advertise. So I think it kind of helps boost those games up as well.
Right. And so they covered a few games. They covered 10 games. Most of them were just VR shit. So if you, you know, I guess now if you're thinking about getting PlayStation VR, maybe you want to jump into that because it looks like they're kind of backing that pretty heavily, mm-hmm. Including there's going to be an Iron Man game that's VR, another game called Blood and Truth. There's Observation, another one. So I don't know, man. No Man's Sky is going to get a VR update. Five Nights at Freddy. That's an interesting game, but not what I'm talking about. Is Five Nights at Freddy's. Five Nights at Freddy's is a whole different game. But they also kind of showed some more footage from Mortal Kombat 11, uh-huh. A racing game featuring a remastered of Crash Team Racing, basically just Crash Bandicoot Mario Kart. But the one that I was more interested in was Days Gone. They kind of did a focus on this kind of heavily last year at E3. Zombie survival game. A lot of people say it looks very similar to The Last of Us. The IGN has already come out and said that the game looks too white. That they needed to add more people of color.
Oh my god.
Yes, because the protagonist basically looks like every white character in a game, just some like shrubby looking dude with a beard or at least stubble that has personal demons to overcome.
I feel like IGN doesn't make games, and maybe they should shut up after like, you know, after I think we haven't touched base on it, but like IGN gets called out for writing a horrible review on Borderlands 3. You have writers that argue with each other on opinions. Like, do we care what IGN says at this point?
I don't know, man. And we'll get more of the Borderlands upcoming teaser.
Spoiler.
But yeah, spoiler. But yeah, I know Days Gone comes out at the end of this month. Oh, speaking of what, Sean, another thing coming out at the end of the month, Avengers Endgame. Tickets went on sale this morning at 5 a.m. Pacific time.
It's going to be intense.
So, you might want to hurry. Yes, it is. Or at least, it used to be intense if you had to camp out to buy your tickets before the internet came along.
Fair enough.
But, this last recently was PAX East, Sean. Mm-hmm. And Friday, the Friday of PAX East, Gearbox did a presentation. Okay. Where they announced, basically, they had a little mini E3.
Gotcha.
And they had a lot of issues with, like, their video screen stuff, to the point where even Gabe was like, Randy Pitchford is the Gearbox guy. Gabe is the Steam guy. But Randy Pitchford was like, I know this is a PAX East and stuff. Maybe you guys, I thought you guys would have your shit together.
Exactly. It's pretty bad. I mean, I know it's no E3, but still, come on. We got professionals here.
Right. So the first one, the first thing they announced was the game Bulletstorm is coming to the Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's a shooter. If you can't tell by the name, yes. A new game that looked kind of interesting. I sent you the trailer for it. Called Trovar Saves the Universe.
I didn't find it interesting. I'm sorry.
What? It's made by the co-creator of Rick and Morty, dude. I thought you would be jumping on the counters at your local McDonald's yelling because the game's not out yet.
It just feels like a shitty version of Rick and Morty, like from an animation standpoint and a voice character. I mean, I just can't take it, man. It just seemed like it was super low quality. It wasn't even like they tried to make something original.
Right. It felt like, you know, again, with the movies where it's like made by the people that made this. And it's like they're just like an associate producer. They have nothing else to do with it. This time, like, I guess the guy from Rick and Morty, they thought maybe that was enough to push the game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, basically it just looked like, I don't even know what the game's about. I know it gave an excuse for the people to just drop the F-bomb as often as possible because they can't drop it on actual Rick and Morty.
Exactly.
You know?
Pretty much.
And it's like, you know, I'm not trying to say that, like, from being a prude of, like, they said a bad word. It's more a thing of, like, are you trying to prove a point by saying it that often, or are you just trying to release all your pent-up frustration by not being able to do that on Cartoon Network?
Right. I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
But it will be released. That game will be released on May 31st, and then there's another game called Astroneer made by the same, mm-hmm. basically, company, group, whatever, that's coming out later. They announced season passes and DLC for the game We Happy Few.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny Tina got a physical card game that's available through TinyTinaGames.com for $20.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any of the gameplay, but it's all the fun of Tiny Tina without any of her awesome dialogue, which is the fun of Tiny Tina.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems kind of like a like they just threw her name on to get some money.
I mean, it's only $20, but still, $20 is $20, Sean.
It is true, man. Like, I got that $20 could go somewhere else, like a fun card game that's not heavily influenced and not, you know, just marketed with somebody that we love.
I know. And part of me is like, I must buy it because it's Tiny Tina, but common sense is kind of sort of holding me back.
Exactly.
We'll see. if you can't get enough Borderlands, Sean, the rest is all Borderlands announcements. Borderlands, Borderlands, Borderlands.
Oh, boy.
If you want to know where you can take your love of Borderlands and discuss it with other people and their love of Borderlands, there's an official Borderlands Discord server.
Yeah, you could totally.
So you can talk to fellow Borderlanders.
So you can hang out in the circle jerk party.
Right, and they do dangle the carrot of AMAs, like where you can actually, instead of typing it, you can actually physically ask questions to developers up to and including Randy Pitchford.
That is true.
Borderlands 2 VR is getting DLC. Again, more VR stuff. The Handsome Collection is getting the 4K update for both the Xbox One, the Xbox One X, the PlayStation 4, and 4K computers. No. The cool thing is, if you already have it,
mm-hmm.
It's free. Like, basically, if you have the standard Xbox One or PlayStation 4 or PC version of the Handsome Edition,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to buy it again. It's a free update.
Gotcha. That's cool.
Right. They're coming out with a Borderlands Game of the Year for the Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to buy the Handsome Edition, you just want Borderlands 1 with all the content, you can buy that, the Game of the Year edition.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
And finally, they announced Borderlands 3 in development. It's coming out soonish.
Soonish.
You know what's funny? I'm gonna peel back the curtain a little bit here.
Yep.
We're recording on April 2nd. On April 3rd, they're going to do a bigger announcement, which might be including the release date of the game.
That is true. So when you hear the following episode, after it's already been announced, if you Google it, we might have more info for you.
Oh, they will, at least. You'll have to do your work for yourself.
You will. Danny, I just don't know how excited I am for Borderlands, though, man. Like, the end of the first game was a disappointment. Like, Borderlands 2 felt like a chore to finish. Like, I'm just not super excited about this game. Like, there's a lot of good aspects of the game. The gameplay is fun. Leveling up with four friends is fun. The characters seem very interesting. Well, most of the characters seem interesting, especially the Vault Hunters. But, man, I just sometimes...
Mr. Torque.
Yeah, Mr. Torque and Tiny Tina were awesome characters. If you want a Torque sax solo, then they got it for you in the third one. But, man, I'm not, like, overly excited. I had, like, somebody at work, like, run up to me and was like, "Are you excited?" I'm like, "No. No, I'm not."
Right. I mean, I didn't play as much of 2 as I did of 1, but I think a lot of it was timing and just, I don't know why I didn't. I guess I was mostly playing it solo as opposed to the first one where I played with people.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to this, though. Like, I mean, I pretty much beat both games. I beat the first one. I almost beat the second game because then I started kind of branching off and doing the DLC. The Tiny Tina DLC was pretty amazing. It was basically her narrating a game of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, no, that was like some of the best story and gameplay that I've really played in all the Borderlands, but just kind of in general.
Right, and it looks like from the trailer they're bringing back all the characters, or at least most of them. They showed some of the Vault Hunters, even from the first game. Moxie. Tiny Tina looks like she's older, so she's not so tiny anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting to see how her character is.
Changed or developed.
Yeah.
Not physically, but just because we want to keep Mike away from her, maybe.
Jesus. Why you gotta be that guy?
Because somebody does.
Somebody's got to.
I'll jump on that grenade for you, Sean.
Oh boy, thanks.
Yeah, it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. But it's not like he listens anyway, so we're okay.
Fair enough. Oh, good.
They brought back Ellie, Moxie, in the trailer. So, and then the article you talked to, I watched a video of a guy rebutting it basically. And some writer from IGN, because originally this game was rumored to come out and it was going to be a Battle Royale game.
Which would be terrible, because we don't need that shit.
No, we don't need another Battle Royale. And so this guy was talking about how before the announcement, he was like, "This is what I want to hear at the announcement," kind of a thing. And it was like he wanted a Battle Royale thing, except... You know, in this game, like in the other games, it's like millions of guns. This one, it's billions of guns, is their claim, which is very misleading, but I'll allow it because they probably have a set number of guns, but then the stats and the perks are just super RNG'd.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like Destiny. Destiny is the same way, where you have the same gun that has the same name, but then you get it like... different rarity levels.
Yeah, different elements.
Like, what's your favorite? Yeah, like what's like the assault rifle called in Destiny? Like one of the assault rifles.
Let's just go with hand cannon and call it Trust from Gambit.
Yeah, Trust. So Trust. Like there'll be a common Trust, uncommon, a rare, a super rare, and then you might have, you know, better aim, better reload speed, better firing rate. Something.
True.
And so I think that's how Borderlands is going to get away with it, with the billions of guns, where technically they might be true, but it's just based on, like, the number of possibilities with all of the RNG stats based on the hard number of guns they have.
Yeah.
But my point being is you can't balance weapons in PvP at all. I mean, games like... You know, Destiny, with just a set number of guns, small number of guns, has a hard time balancing the weapons. You know, Call of Duty, they're always having updates where they had to balance certain guns, whether they gave some guns more damage or some guns less damage. It seemed like every update they're balancing the weapons to make it more fair in PvP.
That is true. That is a big call out. I mean, nobody cares when it's PvE. I mean, if it's really that bad in PvE, then like they'll change it. But yeah, I mean, PvP is just way too crazy of a thing to try to like
normalize. Balance that many guns?
Yeah.
And so I took a screenshot of a couple of the comments because sometimes YouTube comments are the best. Most of the time they're the worst, but occasionally. So a couple of them was like, you can't spell ignorant without IGN. And it's like a quoting, this comes from IGN. And it's like, well, yeah, there's your problem. And then the last one was, this is a real article a real person wrote. And this, somebody replied to that, IGN doesn't employ people.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the rest of the stuff. Like a lot of it had to do with more with loot and stuff. Just these stupid theories about doing, because one of the things that they would do with Borderlands is they had the platinum keys.
Mm-hmm.
And you could earn them by like different ways, like, or you could pay for them, but there were ways to get it. And he was talking about how just basically doing away with the platinum keys, but then kind of making it to where you would have to pay for the loot drops all at, you know, every other game where you have to pay for loot. I don't know. The guy was kind of dumb and a dummy, so we shouldn't be paying too much attention. But I just thought the whole, ridiculousness of this being a battle royale game, to the point where Randy Pitchford came out the same way the Russo brothers did and was like, there is not going to be anything battle royale at all associated with Borderlands.
Yeah.
Which somebody brought up the point where if Borderlands did have anything to do with a battle royale, it might just be like one mission where they would be making fun of it.
Yeah.
That seems like the Borderlands way.
Very true.
So, yeah, just go ahead. If you haven't already figured out the release date by the time this episode has been released, go ahead and check it out. Hopefully it comes out not too soon because I want to finish Far Cry 5 and then maybe pick up Days Gone and then Borderlands 3.
Fair enough. Fair enough, sir. All right, everybody. That's it for today's show. Thanks for hanging out for another fun-filled episode with no April Fool jokes this time. Make sure that you follow us on Podbean, Instagram, Facebook, iTunes, Google Play, all those fun places. Give us 5 stars. Tell us how Baby Shark ruined your life.
Yes. Give us 5 stars and complain about us and Baby Shark. Folks, this is episode number 99. We will be taking a week off before we hit the magical number of 100, when we can actually officially hit syndication.
100 hours of wasted time. Wasted
bullshit. 100 hours plus. 100 hours plus.
True, we do have some long episodes in there.
I mean, you know, even if an episode goes 101 minutes, that's an extra 100 minutes that we wasted of their time.
Very, very true. Very true. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time for the 100th episode of We Are Adult Show. See you later.
Bye, everybody.